Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, well, praise God, everybody. Once again, we're just in the presence of God. I want to thank God once again for all the things that He has done for us. Tonight's the night that we just rejoice. We take God at His word. But we know what the Bible tells us. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor, and take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burdens are light." And I call on you tonight, for we're on KSK Radio. We have a great group tonight. It's going to come on in a few minutes. We got Sonia from, she's a teacher. We have another teacher, Sister Royal, Prince of Love, and the great evangelist. We just met National Evangelist. I tell you, tonight's the night that we just say hallelujah. So stay with God, be with God, and just say hallelujah. And we'll just wait for them to come on. God bless you and God keep you. Let me see that. Hello, sister. How you doing?
I'm doing blessed. How are you doing tonight?
All right. Well, praise God. How's everything on the East Coast?
Oh, things are well. Things are very well. Thank you for asking.
Well, we're sitting away for you to teach us tonight, so we're going to go ahead and let you teach. We're just going to sit back and listen, okay?
Amen. Amen. We're going to let the Holy Spirit, we're going to let the Father teach us. Lord, thank you.
You're welcome.
Opportunity to come boldly to your throne of grace. And Father, we come through and by the blood of Jesus. Thanking you for this time, thanking you for all present, Lord God. And Father, we just lay ourselves down, Lord God. We surrender all to you. Have your way, Heavenly Father. Have your way. Lord, let us, we just stand ready to receive your word. And Lord God, we just stand ready to do it your way. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to John 8:32. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this word. John 8:32. Amen. And it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Amen. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Thank you, Lord, for that. Yeah, you know, this is Jesus speaking, saying in John that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This word, the truth, in the Greek is aletheia. In the New Testament, is primarily God's revelation of himself in Jesus Christ. God's revelation of himself in Jesus Christ. Truth is one of the most powerful weapons a believer has against the kingdom of darkness. Truth is light, and the Bible says that the darkness has never overpowered the light. The truth is light. And Jesus said that the truth will set us free. Truth is revealed by the Spirit of truth. Jesus could have shown his disciples all the truth, but John 16:12-13 reveals that he knew they were not ready for it. He told them that they needed to wait until the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. Let's go to John 16:12-13. Let's see what Jesus is saying there. John 16:12-13. He said, "I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-given Spirit comes, he will give you into all the truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. So he told them that they needed to wait until the Holy Spirit came down from heaven to abide with them and to dwell with them. So we know, so Jesus, when he's telling us about this truth, you know, this truth, you know, this the truth of God is just so amazing. And we have this truth and the Spirit of truth that is with us now. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit work in our lives. He cannot work in our lives if we do not face the truth. You know, he is called the Spirit of truth, as we just read. And we have to face this truth. We have to deal with the truth, because that's the only way we can be free. Amen? Amen. Amen, sister. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's go over to John 1 and 14. John 1 and 14. Once I started out the truth, the aletheian in the New Testament, this is God's revelation of himself in Jesus Christ. So I just want to jump back over here before we go right with the Spirit of truth. In verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnated in tabernacle, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as the only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, and this came by Jesus Christ, and he is the way and the truth and the life. John 14 and 6, this gospel is the word of truth. So let's look at John 14 and 6, where it says, where it talks about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm just hitting this truth right now. So we're just going to lay this foundation, because Jesus is the truth, and then we have the Spirit of truth. In John 14 and 6, it says that Jesus, amen, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. And the gospel is the word of truth. Colossians 1 and 5. Colossians 1 and 5 show the gospel is the word of truth. Amen. Amen, somebody. I'm amen myself. Hallelujah. This is a good word for me. I think I am the only one that's getting it, and it's all right, Lord. Give it to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 1 and 5. Colossians 1 and 5. I'm getting there slowly. Amen. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the world, and the word of the truth of the gospel. Amen. And the gospel is the word of truth. Colossians 1 and 5 is what we just read. And 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13 building this foundation, that the gospel is the word of truth. 2 Thessalonians 13. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And going back to our beginning scripture, John 8:32, the truth shall make you free. In the context of the human knowledge, many things are true, yet there is only one truth that will set people free from sin, destruction, and Satan's dominion. It is Jesus himself and his revelation of truth in scripture. And just, you know, we have to take a notice that and these observations about truth, scripture especially, the original revelation of Christ and the New Testament apostle testifies to the truth, frees one from sin, the world, and the demonic. The revelation of truth is not needed to complete or make more adequate the gospel of Christ, but it is the truth. The gospel is the truth. So saving truth is revealed only from God by his Spirit. So these are some observations that the commentary makes, but the bottom line is the truth. It is the truth. Jesus is the truth, and it is the truth that makes us free. He is the truth, the way, and the life, and there's no other way that we can come to God but by this truth. If we're out here living these false and these lies, this lying don't get us into heaven. The lie is not going to get us into to have any peace in this life. And if we look at the world, this world is built upon lies. And life without Jesus is a lie. The only way is through Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says that no man can come unto God but by Jesus. Amen. So, Father, we give you the praise tonight for your word, that Jesus is our way, our truth, and our life. And, Father, we don't try to make it in any other way but by you. And, Lord, as we thank you for your word, we give you all the praise and the glory this evening. And we thank you for your truth, oh God. Your truth and your word, we thank you for being the truth for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you continue to pull our hearts, that you create in our hearts a clean heart, that we can just stand up in truth before you and not keep things pushed under the rugs. And, Father, as we come boldly to the throne of grace tonight, Father, we ask you to shine a light from our heaven. We ask you to open our eyes to see any areas that we've covered up, that we've covered over, that we have been self-deception about, Lord God. Reveal to us the hidden things in our heart, oh God, that we can come clean before you, Lord God. And, Father, as we pray now, we just lift up everybody on this radio. We lift up the ones that we know that's on and the ones that we don't know that's on, oh God. And, Father, we ask you to just give us all hearts to come to you, Lord God, and to ask you to create in us clean hearts, oh God. Father, we ask you to reveal to us, Lord God, hidden things. And, Father, we just give you the praise right now that your grace is sufficient. We give you the praise for your mercy, Lord God. We give you the praise for opening our eyes, Father God, and for drawing us by your Spirit, that we continue to come to you, Lord God, and just, Lord God, just ask for your forgiveness. And, Father, we know that when we confess our sins before you, that you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And Father God, I pray for those that are on the radio that don't know you as their Lord and Savior. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to give them hearts to give them a heart to receive, give them ears to hear, oh God, tonight. And Father God, that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the living God. He's there. God has been so good, hasn't he? God has been good, hasn't he?
Amen. You've been good.
Amen. Well, we just wanna. I know God has given you some more to tell us, so we just listen to what Lord is using to do. Amen.
Well, I know you know this truth is it's a word that I got right before I came on, so I thank God for it. Uh-huh. And I'll be the last of me studying this word. And I just thank the Lord for it because it's just a real word.
Amen.
Because we all truthful. And see, nobody know but you and the Lord.
That's right.
And we that's one of the things about a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We can get out there and play in front of folks all day long. And we can get out there and look like, you know, we Christians and talk like we Christians. But actually, you know, standing up before the Lord, he's gonna show us those things. And a lot of times we don't get up to see those things. We play around and we do all kinds of things. But, you know, the way, the truth and the life, that's an awesome thing. You know, we're not promised these next seconds. We're not promised tonight. We're not promised tomorrow. And this is a real word to us tonight about truth.
Amen.
Because we can sit here and deceive ourselves and think that we are doing all kinds of things, but you know, you can deceive yourself right on into hell. And what did you get for it?
Zero.
Yeah. So this truth is a blessing for me.
Amen.
It's a blessing for me. Oh, I don't know who else got anything, but I sure did.
Amen. Well, the line's open.
It's time to stand up with this truth.
Amen.
You know, and you don't have to follow a lie. We don't have to try to think more highly of ourselves. We don't have to do that. And those are the type of things that drag people down in life. Is lies, self-deception, pride, all that's in there. You know, we can stand up in the truth tonight. And Jesus Christ is our truth. And he has peace for us tonight. And he has real peace. You know, they show all these reality shows with these stars on it. They look like they're living a good life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the only good life that you can have is life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only peace. You know.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. I can tell you, Minister Sonia, that was an on-time word. I have not got around to do this today, but God put it in my spirit to post on my Facebook page about truth. You know, what are you truly seeking God for? Are you seeking God for stuff, or are you seeking God for who he is? You know, what's your truth? And only person knows the truth is you and God. So, like you said, the word says you're deceiving yourself if you do not recognize these things. This is why I want God. I want God because I want a better house. I want God because I want a husband. I want God because I want things in this world. But where are we setting our hearts up for? Is our hearts, our treasures up for? Are we setting up for the things in the world? Are we setting it up for those things that's in heaven? If we seek you first, the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness, then all else shall be added unto us. And that's what we need to understand. What are these things? What are these things that God says to us? It's these spiritual things. We're thinking it's stuff. People are walking around here dying, and we need the gift of healing. People are walking around here with no hope, and we need the word to prophesy. We need the things of God to bring forth change and deliverance in this earth realm, because that's why he purposed us and put us here. Now, that's the truth. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord for that word.
Amen. Amen. And the thing about it is what you just said. These gifts operating through us. They ain't going to operate if we walk around here in self-deception. We got to tell the truth, and we got to live the truth in order for the power to flow through us. It ain't going to flow through no lie. It ain't going to flow through no deception. And we're supposed to be walking around here ministering to folks like that.
Amen. And you know, Jesus, the scripture you said, that he said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. People should see the life that's in you, the life of Jesus that's in each and every one of us. We're made in his image and in his likeness. I had a young lady that called me tonight, and because she see the light in me, she called me to pray for somebody else. And when I called this young lady, God had gave me a song. And before the young lady answered the phone, I was singing that song. And I stopped when she answered the phone. And I said, you probably heard me singing when you answered your phone. I said, but God gave me that song for you. And she said, you know what? That's my favorite song. See, we got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I only do what the Father, the one who sent me. I only say what the Father, the one who sent me. We got to know that we have been sent by God. Yes, it took an earthly mother and an earthly father to bring us forth, but we were formed before we was even in our mother's womb, and we got to tell the people the truth, where their true inheritance is, where their ancestors, where did you really come from? You know, we got to stop have giving people the truth and give the whole truth. The truth shall make us free. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, God is so good. His mercy endures forever. And one thing I would say, we got about 5 more minutes on this program, so I'm going to open up the lines for everybody to have something to say. And because tonight's been a night where God is speaking to from John 8:32. John 16, and I just thank God for the word tonight, because the truth is what we all see in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, so we just give God the glory and just praise him and love him. So right now I'm opening up the lines, and we just going to thank God for everything he has done, and we're going to praise him, we're going to love him, and we're going to adore him. And praise God. The line's open. Everybody, we got 5 minutes. Anybody got a testimony or a confession that they want to make? And we go from there. If not, we just say, well, we're on the next one to come on. That's Sister Royal. Amen. 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 Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hallelujah.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Well, praise the Lord, saints, and glory to all of those that shall be saints, and glory to the name of Jesus. I come on here tonight thanking and praising and glorifying and magnifying and exalting the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Truly, He is everything we need. My life, my love, my heart beats. I pant for the righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have heard our prayer and that you've answered, because your words say, before we call, you've already answered. I ask you, Lord, to anoint my voice, my mind, my thoughts, my mouth, and let me not say anything that is displeasing to you in my heart or mouth or mind. Let the hearers be able to receive the love of Jesus Christ that I show so to Kukundika. In the name of Jesus, bind every force of evil that would hinder anything that you would have out there, Father, and loose the Holy Spirit to be in full control in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Well, saints, it's another Monday, and this is a great day, because it's a day that I've never seen before, and I'm just so glad and so thrilled to be here tonight, because it is not promised, it's just by the grace of God. We do not understand how great the grace of God is. So tonight I want to come to you out of Galatians. I want to just point out some things that some of us Christians seem to be always forgetting. And we, as we go through this life momentarily, we are written epistles, written and read of men. We're living epistles. Our whole life has become a book, each and every one of us, from the least of us to the greatest of us. We live through the panting and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It has been put in us now. And right now, stage of the Christianity all over the world, for some reason, labels and titles, doctrines and commandments of men, and all these here isms have popped up. But I just want to show you some of Paul's letters. Paul wrote, they suspect that he wrote some of Acts. We know he wrote Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, and Colossians, and 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and 1st and 2nd Philemon. And he wrote all the way up to Peter, and then Peter wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, and then, as you know, the Johns are written by John. However, Paul wrote more books in the New Testament than anybody, and we don't know the exact writer of the Hebrews. But Paul's message was to the Gentiles. He was writing to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. First he went to the Jews, but God struck him on the road to Damascus purposely for the ministering to the Gentiles. So I wanted to point out, since now we got bishop, doctor, apostles, evangelists, well, these are the fivefold is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are the fivefold, but it's truly sevenfold, because then the scripture teaches about deacons, and it also teaches about bishops, if a man desire the office of a bishop. But none of these titles or offices was ever supposed to precede Jesus. Jesus is supposed to be everything. But the reason, one of the reasons, I'm not going to profess to know all the reasons why we have this rampage of I'm an apostle, I'm a pastor, I'm a this, I'm a that. And Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, some say I'm an Apollos, I'm of Apollos, and, you know, he goes on. And he tries to show us in 1 Corinthians, let me go over there to the scripture for you, where the things we're making such big deals out of are supposed to be least, you know, not highly exalted. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it is. And Paul talks about 3 and 4. While one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? I want y'all to hear me good tonight. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. But God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Do we understand? I want to make it plain. Because Paul stopped a lot of this, but somehow now this spirit has gotten into the body of Christ again, whereas I'm not being recognized. I got to be recognized, so I got to have a title, and my office is so important. I don't understand it. We all know we are nothing without the Holy Spirit. So what if I'm not a bishop or an apostle or let me not forget the most important one that Paul tells us two to three times, covet earnestly the gift of prophecy. That's what the word tells us. It don't tell us other than if a man desire the office of a bishop, he must be. It gives us the qualifications of it. But the rest of them, it don't even go all that far. You know, a man has made up a bunch of different philosophies that they believe what an evangelist is, or what a pastor is, or what a apostle is. And we all know what a teacher is, which is to me one of the greatest gifts of all of them. Because if you don't have a teacher, how can you learn anything? And if he don't be taught by the Holy, and the Bible already tells us we need not that any man should teach you, but he, the Holy Spirit, is the teacher. So we are, but all of these here gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all of these are the fivefold, which I still say there are seven, deacons and elders, so it's really eight, deacons, elders, and bishops. Okay. But nobody will ever No matter what office you say or believe or claim that you have been called to, none of these will proceed the leaning and trusting and dependence on the mighty Holy Ghost. We need to learn to get it in our brains and in our minds and in our hearts to listen and be led by the Holy Ghost. We're too busy trying to do these carnal things in the flesh, getting all these little letters and all these little certificates and all these things to impress somebody, to impress. But if God don't recognize you, it don't matter if the whole world it recognizes. This is very important. We are the body of Christ, and there is only one way to be in the body. It don't matter what your church title is or what your church name is. If you're not in the body of the living God, if you're not a partaker of the Holy Ghost and have sucked with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom Gwonita Kasando, into the kingdom people of God's dear Son, then you are nothing. Now, mind you, I already told you we nothing in the beginning. Don't think I'm confused. We're nothing from the start to the end. And the only thing that makes us a dot or of substance is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which God himself promised that he would come and operate in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He ain't coming in Ruth's name. He ain't coming in pastor's name. He ain't coming in apostle's name. He coming in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. You can't get him to move or to even to gather anyone who don't gather even. And yet we've gotten so far from this, so far. The church is in a terrible fix. We've gotten so far caught up in so much wickedness. And don't let me deceive you now. The terror is always going to be in the church. Sinners are always going to come to the church, the building. The Bible says, let the wheat and the tare grow together. And when I come, it ain't told us to go do a no separation. You know the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that tells us about those scriptures are to people who are supposed to be brothers and sisters. If you see your brother sinning a sin, you know, then. And then all of that got to be done with decent leading of the Holy Spirit in gentleness and meekness. I know a lot of people I've been in the ministry 40 some years. Let me tell you something. I've heard every sermon on preach the word in season and out of season. And somebody thinks that gives them the right to come down hard and be critical of other people. But that is not what the scripture is talking about. Because it kindly tells you to esteem, that we are part of one another. Be gentle. Don't even go to them without being gentle. At least if you scold them so hard, it will make them not want to come. This is scripture what I'm talking about. I ain't giving you my opinion. I wouldn't dare give you my opinion. I'm giving you word. But I'm not going to give you the exact scripture where that is, but that is in Timothy and in Thessalonians. However, I want you to search for that, because some things you really need to search for. You need to have that unction, that function to search for it. But also, everything, there is never an excuse, my friend, never. Under any circumstance, including from me, from the head to the bottom, the priest to the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, there's never an excuse where you cannot love and do things and treat people right. Yes, there are times your flesh will rise up, and we ain't all going always. Oh, man. This song. Always.
Incoming.
There's never going to be a time when your life requires you not to love. There is not a circumstance that I can think of. And yes, we're still in this fleshly body, and you're going to find challenges, body, things that will rile you up. That's why we have the armor of God, and the word of God teaches us how to prepare, how to arm yourself and to get ready for battle. It teaches us to let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Who didn't think he had, Jesus didn't, we don't find, now we know in John chapter 31, it tells us that if the world could not contain all the books, if everything had been written about Christ. But the secondo quarto, let me tell you about where I started off at in Galatians tonight. Galatians teaches us that the Old Testament was a schoolmaster, a shadow of things to come. So we don't want to get over there and honor the feast days and all those things. If you do, I'm not against you if you want to do all that. That's up to you. Because one man, and I'm going to read this to you. Let us go to Galatians chapter 3. Somehow or another, I tell you, I earnestly beg people out there to study the word. Search the scriptures. Don't put your opinions and your philosophies and your theories in them, but search the scriptures and see if these things be so. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? That's Galatians 3, verse 1. Now I'm at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel Abraham, saying, in thee shall all, listen at this now, all nations be blessed. That was verse 8. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Listen to this. And there's a, and as we get further, you're going to see where Paul is even crying, because I understand why he had such a hard time. These were Gentiles who didn't know. This was a mixture of Gentiles and Jews who did not, the Gentiles, of course, didn't know all the law. They knew the Ten Commandments, but they didn't know all the law. But it didn't have any effect on them because they were not the Jews. The Ten Commandments was really only given for the Jews. The Old Testament was given the whole nation. We read it, but we don't understand it. He took the whole nation of Israel and made an example of a heathen nation. He took and made them a nation. They were heathens. They were heathens just like everybody else. But because God plucked them from among all nations, that made them special. Just like I was a heathen. I was born in sin. My whole nature was sinful. I was born in sin. The baby being born right this minute is a sinner. He's a sinner. So, he's going to need a Savior unless he die before he gets to the age of, quote-unquote, Old Testament accountability. Now, on this side of the cross, he can get credit for being born in a saved mother and a saved father's house. I mean, don't ask me to explain that. I'm not even going to try and go there with you, but I am telling you that even that old law of accountability doesn't work on this side of the cross. And that's where I'm coming from. I come because I want you to learn, people to learn. I don't want to sit up here and give you some fair speeches and some philosophies and isms that are not scriptural. Because you cannot walk in the Spirit of God and be stuck in isms. And you cannot please God and still be trying to work, live under the law. I promise you that. Now, see, you can say you can, but I promise you can't please God trying to live under the law, because it is bruising the heart of God for you to try and please God by trying to walk under the law. Because Jesus Christ said, "It is finished. It is finished." And therefore, if any of those things, the blood of perfect lambs and the blood of atonement and all the walking into the Ark of Covenant, if all of that could have did it, then God himself wouldn't have came and died. He wouldn't have hung on the cross. God got more sense than we got and always will. And you think he needed to waste his time coming down here to hang on the cross and suffer and be rejected by God himself, his father, whereas God couldn't even look upon him when he was hanging on the cross? When he said, "Lama, lama, sabachthani," he was taught, "Why have thou forsaken me?" It's because God couldn't look upon him because he was full of the sin of the world. He was full of the sin of the world was on him, and God could not look upon sin. So therefore, now, but we want to still continue to go back and make these sacrifices. And we want to continue to walk under the Ten Commandments and under the law and under all those things. They are beautiful stories, schoolmasters. It's an absolute schoolmaster when Christ has given us liberty. Now we are at, oh, glory to God. Christ has given us the things. I mean, when we spend that kind of time over there. We miss out on all the things that God has given us now, how we can walk in victory. Yes, it's a process. It's a process. But everything Jesus Christ did on that cross has already been given to us. I want to continue to teach you next week and show you next week how that we have been set free. We have been given. We have been made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to get any righteous. It doesn't matter that I myself, Ruth, in my own, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but in my spirit and by the anointing of the Most High God, I am what I am in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I say that he is Lord of my life. He's Lord of my walk. He's Lord of my talk. And I would not deceive you, brethren and sisters. I would not lie to you. Trust in the living God. Surrender yourselves totally to him. Don't be misled by feelings and idiosyncrasies and mistakes of doctrines and teachings and commandments of men. Withdraw yourself from all of that and yield yourself to God. And I promise you, these are the things that the Holy Spirit has been promised to do. But yet we still continue, even with the Spirit of God living in us, we want to continue to act like we are helpless. Yet we've been given authority. We've been given power. We've been given victory. We've been given joy unspeakable. We've been given eternal life forever. Oh, my God. We've been made rich. He was rich and he became poor that we might be rich. And wealth is not all about money. Wealth is not all about possessions. Why would God waste his time? I mean, the Bible in Psalms, Old Testament, says he looks, he sits high and he looks low, and he laughs at the derision of men. Because we worry about these things. Oh, yes, it's easy for me to say I'm a 70-year-old woman and I've been rich and I've been poor. And I tell you, I've heard people say that same song before and say, but being rich was better. Well, I can't tell you that. I've been poor, and I mean it. It's been victoriously for me. I've worked through 2 and 3 jobs, you know, and because I have liberty in Christ. In Christ. I-N-C-H-R-I-S-T, capital C-H-R-I-S-T, capital J-E-S-U-S, in Jesus Christ, I have everything that pertain, and the word wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true, that pertain unto life and godliness, unto life and godliness. Yes, we all going to fall, we all going to stumble, ain't nobody going to live perfect, and I'll be lying until Jesus come. I'll be learning until I give up the ghost. I'll be learning until he come through the sky. I will be learning. Because if I live a trillion years, I can't learn enough about Christ. But if I press toward the mark of the high calling of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, trusting, trusting, I trust that God going to meet my needs. I trust that God going to give me wisdom. I trust that God is going to take care of my enemies. I trust that God got me in the palm of his hand. I trust that. Oh, no, I'm not defeated by any means. I am not going to let any devil have any victory because God has already given us power to tread upon serpents and to speak to mountains. The word is our sword. The word is our life. And I want to tell you, I'm going to finish up at verse, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, Now, you hear me now. A lot of people go to Deuteronomy 28 and talk about the curses and the blessings. But let me tell you something. I am blessed, and every man that has tasted and seen that Jesus Christ is Lord and been translated out of the kingdom of darkness is blessed. And you blessed whether you got a morsel of bread or you blessed whether you got a car or not. You blessed whether you even got a roof over your head. And you better learn to appreciate the blessings of God, because it doesn't consist in things only. These things are all going to burn up. Everything you can lay your eyes on is going to burn with fervent heat. The earth and all its elements, the word of God say. So don't get your heart set on this. This is why it was funny to Jesus. I mean, how could these people, they're so concerned about little things on earth, little things. And that's why he went the teaching of the birds of the air, they toil not, yet he takes care of them. That's why he can, the grass, it don't do anything but be there. It still be green. God's going to take care of you. He really takes care of the wicked. Look how good God is to the wicked, and you think he'd be any less good to you? Yes, because we are being tried, and we shall come forth as pure gold, the word of God says. You got to be tried. And in a minute, and as the old song says, if the heat get too hot and you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Oh, yeah, you're going to cry. That's what tears are for. We're going to cry. You've got to cry sometime. You're going to be, everything that happened to Jesus going to happen to you. He said, marvel not, the servant is not greater than the master. Believe me, people. They talked about Jesus, they're going to talk about me. They lied on Jesus, they're going to lie on me. Believe me, but God have mercy on whom the offense cometh. God have mercy. And my job is not to vindicate myself. My job is to praise the Lord for and thank God that I've been counted worthy for the persecution that they're going to do to us. Not just me, I ain't talking about me only, I just use me. But every one of you that have tasted and seen that Jesus is good and that he is truly Lord. I tell you, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey, nothing for my journey, nothing for my journey. I tell you, God is better than life, better than life. And you know, we ain't tasted all the other things, but I can truly tell you that this life in Christ is much better than any life, anything that man has. He can't touch this. He can't touch this. I bid you the love of Christ in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. I bid you the joy that is unspeakable. Because if you don't have the joy of Jesus, you really are in serious trouble. But yes, when you can have joy even with tears in your eyes. You can have joy when your family and your friends and everybody has turned their back on you. You can still have joy when you're sick and your body is wrecked with pain. You can have joy. I bid you God's blessing, God's joy, and God's love eternal. In the name of Jesus, be blessed and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening and week. Until next time, in Jesus, God bless. Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, Sister Arroyo, love. One thing we can say, the word has been taught tonight. And I'm sitting behind the scene just saying, my, teaching is what we need more. I thank God for you. And so do we have the evangelist? Is she on there with us? Are you on there?
Yes, Amen.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. How's everyone doing this evening?
We're doing great. God bless you. Go right ahead.
Praise God. I just want to start off with prayer. I thank God for this opportunity that he have his way on this life and that we all receive what he's saying. I cover everyone under the blood of Jesus, that he cover our ears, that we receive and understand, and that it come forth with simplicity in Jesus' name. Last week, we spoke about agape love and how we should walk in agape love with each other and with all that we are connected to or come across, whether it be family, friends, or enemies, and having that type of God type of love. And obeying God's commandments to walk in love. Agape love is loving unconditional, no matter how you feel. And today I will be discussing about phileo love, which means love based on friendship. Phileo means friend, which is connected with your emotions and your feelings, like a best friend type of love. Phileo is not like the love you give towards your enemies. That is agape love. Phileo love is like someone maybe that you have went to middle school, elementary school with, and you've grown up when you've learned this person know you, you know this that person, and you have a tight bond, and you are best friends, basically. It's the type of love that I'll be speaking about. And I'm also going to be surfacing grace, and grace is, the meaning of grace is favor, charm, acceptance, approval, kindness. And also in the Christian belief, it is free and unmerited favor from God. And unmerited meaning undeserved, which is the form of grace that we receive as Christians through Jesus, through God, which is unmerited favor and undeserved favor through God's grace. Kindness from God, and we don't deserve it or earn it, is a free gift from God. And there is nothing we have done for it, nor can we ever do anything to earn this favor. It is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. And I was led to read about the book Ruth, so I could explain it better through the way I've read. And I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. I'm kind of going to surface it and kind of explain what I got out of it. In the book of Ruth, it talks about a Moabite woman who came from a poverty-stricken family. And although she was humble and courageous and faithful and a loving woman, her family background wasn't too favored. She came from the land of Moab, and Moab was a land inhabited by the descendants of the son of Lot. Moab was the incestuous son of Lot, meaning there was sex among family members, and Ruth was from that lineage. But Ruth connected with a woman by the name of Naomi. And through Naomi's son, who she married, who passed away about 10 years after they married. Naomi had a husband and two sons who all passed away at the same time. Naomi felt alone and bitter, so she was from Bethlehem, Judea. And she ended up in the land of Moab due to the fact they had a famine in the land of Judea. And after Naomi's husband, her sons died, all she had left was her two daughter-in-laws, which was Ruth and Orpha. Naomi headed back to Judea because she heard that the Lord had blessed the people in Judea. Excuse me, I'm reading my notes. And as Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws headed back to Judea because they found out, you know, it was no longer famine out there. Naomi stated to Ruth and them to go back to their mothers because basically they had no reason to be with her anymore because her sons had passed away. And pretty much all she had left was herself. She couldn't even offer them, you know, another child because they would have to wait, you know, for the sons to grow up. And so she pretty much told them to go back to their homes and go back to their gods and go back to where they belong. But Ruth insisted on staying with Naomi. And I believe because of the love that, you know, Ruth had for Naomi, was that phileo love, that friendship type of love, that connection she had, she didn't want to lose Naomi. And, of course, she didn't want to leave Naomi by herself because she was an older lady as well. And that love that she had for Naomi, she, you know, just imagine losing her would have been devastating, you know. So she insisted on not leaving Naomi, and she wanted to go with Naomi. And because of that, Naomi pretty much let her go with her back into Judea. And because of Ruth's faithfulness and persistence, she stayed with Naomi. And Naomi allowed her to stay with her and go out into the fields and stuff and to work for her. Because of that love she had, and she couldn't leave her side, she stayed. She stated only to Dove that she wouldn't separate from Naomi. She stated only Dove would separate the two. Well, all of this was, I believe all this was according to God's plan and purpose for Naomi, you know, to continue the promise that he had gave to Abraham to bless him as a father of many nations. Now, in Judea, there was a wealthy man by the name of Boaz in Bethlehem who God allowed Ruth to cross paths with. And I believe God blessed Ruth with that grace through Boaz, because Boaz had a field that Ruth went out into to pick up after the harvesters, and they crossed paths, and pretty much Boaz was very fond of Ruth. You know, he admired her faithfulness. He admired the fact that she took care of Naomi. He admired her because she was persistent. She was faithful. You know, she was humbled. You know, she went out there. She was willing to pick up the leftovers after the harvesters, like what they would drop as they pick up, as they would go, whatever they dropped, she would pick up to bring home to Naomi. And Boaz admired that about her. So he favored her a lot, you know, and I believe, you know, the grace that he had was through God, you know, the grace that God blessed him with for Ruth. And he allowed her to, you know, gather crops in his field and, you know, pretty much do what she desired to do. You know, she was very favored by Boaz. And that talks about divine connections. Like, for instance, you may go somewhere and you find favor with someone. It's a connection that God has allowed to happen because of his plans and purpose. And I believe that was a divine connection between Boaz and Ruth for God's purpose to be fulfilled. And Ruth was very humbled. You know, she gathered the leftovers from the harvesters, and God favored her and gave her much grace from Boaz, which brings me to James 4:6, which says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So the fact that Ruth was very humble, I believe that's why God also exalted her to receive the blessings that she received from Boaz. You know, it didn't matter her background, her position. It didn't matter who her family was. She still had favor on her life. And she was very humble and faithful to everything that she was doing. And even taking care of Naomi, you know, and Naomi desired for her to find a rest, you know, and to find a husband. So Naomi could factor where Ruth will, like, go on to the field where Boaz was and pretty much ask Boaz to marry her. And Boaz couldn't do it at that time. He had to meet with the next of kin in order to do it. And the next of kin pretty much relinquished it over to Boaz to allow Boaz to marry her. But because of God's grace and love for Ruth, Ruth ended up marrying Boaz, which also is a blessing to Naomi, because Naomi's family, it was no one else but her. You know, she had no one to continue her family lineage. And because of the connection with Ruth and Boaz, Naomi's lineage was able to continue as well. And because of Boaz and Ruth's love for each other, that connection, you know, and the promise that God gave to Abraham that he would bless all nations was continued to them, because Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. Because Boaz was carrying the Davidic lineage, and their son that they had, whose name was Obed, continued that. You know, Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David, which is King David, which is the same lineage that Jesus Christ came for, which also led to the birth of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. And in Matthew 1:5, it speaks about the connection with Ruth and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I didn't break that down, but if you guys can go to Matthew 5:1, it talks about, Matthew 1:5, it talks about the lineage of Jesus Christ and how Ruth was a part of that. And although Ruth was very unlikely candidate and had a bad background, God graced her to change the course of history. because of her love for Naomi. He connected her to Boaz, who God had preordained for her to meet. Ruth was blessed and favored and redeemed through Boaz, which was God's plan and purpose from the very beginning. The same way God has given us grace through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, he did the same with Boaz and Ruth. You know, Boaz was Ruth's Redeemer, you know, and that's the same way that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer, you know, through the redemption of Jesus Christ, which means redemption is the act of saving or being saved from sin or error or evil. And because of Ruth's past,
amen. Are you still on?
Amen. One second. The phone went out. God ordained for Christ to die for us, to save us because of our sins and our evilness and our error. You know, redemption was made through Jesus Christ for us. And because of his love and grace for all of us, we were able to receive that through Jesus Christ. And when we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we received the love from God, which is the unconditional love. And we receive the grace through Jesus Christ because of what Christ did for us on the cross. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter who our family was, the same way that Ruth was. You know, she came from a very poor family and a family that was full of sin as well. But God graced her to meet Boaz to bring her into the awesome lineage of Jesus Christ. You know, she was a part of that. And that is a blessing. That's the same way with us. Well, we may have came up from a background where we may have was brought up in a bad environment, you know, and God is able to connect us with people to bring us into a greater future. You know, we allow his grace and his love to work in our lives and not try to control everything that goes in our life or try to keep ourselves isolated from everybody, you know. God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. In order for it to be done, sometimes he connects us. Majority of the time, he connects us with people to help his plan and purposes to be fulfilled in our lives the same way he did with Ruth and Boaz. So it doesn't matter our background or who our family is, who our mom and dad is, who, you know, the things we've had to go through in life. Once we have went through things and asking God for forgiveness, God has forgiven us. We have to learn to move forward in the things that God has called us through his grace and his love. Although we may feel like we don't deserve it, God has already made room for that. He's already made provisions for that through Jesus Christ and through the grace and the love that he has given us. So we always have to remember that, you know, if we have been brought into his marvelous light and we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, he has allowed grace and mercy for us to move forward in the things that he called us to be. So we have to humble ourselves and submit and allow God to exalt us to the purpose that he has for us through his grace. It is written in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that God's grace is made sufficient for us, meaning when we are weak, you know, God's power is made strong in us through Jesus Christ. I mean, when we may feel like that we're not worthy or we may have made a mistake and we beat ourselves up with that mistake, and God has already forgiven us. The moment that we have repented and asked God to forgive us, God has forgiven us, you know, and sometimes we dwell on it and we hold on to it and not realizing that we're carrying all this extra weight because of things that we're holding on to that we're supposed to let go a long time ago. And God's grace has God's grace is sufficient. He has made provision for us to move forward in him. And, you know, when we are weak and we feel like, you know, there's things going on that we can't handle, we got to remember that God's strength is made strong in our weakness. So we have to, you know, lean on that and depend on God's favor and his love for us. Because God's unmerited favor is enough for us to move forward in him. We have to stop beating ourselves up and not realizing that God has already forgiven us because of our mistakes we made or the people that we have. You know, we need to have grace for others as well. You know, we can't hold on to something somebody did to us as well and not move forward, because the same grace and mercy that God has given us, we are supposed to have to our others. You know, we can't hold on to grudges and we can't walk in unforgiveness because of someone else, because that's really holding you to bondage and holding you, have you holding on to weights that you don't need to hold on. when God has already made provision for that. God has forgiven us and has forgiven them as well, so we have to give them the grace as well so we can move forward in our purpose and the plans that God has for us. Now, we can't take grace for granted, you know, because it's there. We could just deliberately do whatever we choose to do and say, God, grace is sufficient. That's not how that works. It's a day-by-day process. When you are fully sold out for God and you're trying to live a holy and righteous life, meaning you're trying to live by his word and the things that he called you to do, and when you fall short, God is faithful and just to pull you back up and to give you the strength to keep moving forward. That's why I said that I should boast about my weakness, because that's when God's power is, Jesus Christ's power is manifest in our life. You know, that's the kind of grace that we are receiving from Jesus Christ, not the grace that we can just go do whatever we want to do and then say, oh, I'm fine because God has given me grace. That's not how that works. We also have to allow God's grace and love to lead us into the plans and the purpose that God has already ordained for us. Just like he did with Ruth, you know, just to think about if Ruth would have went on and didn't go with Naomi, you know, God gave her that desire to go with Naomi, but if she wasn't obedient to that desire, she wouldn't have been able to do what God done in her life. She wouldn't have been able to be a part of a powerful lineage, which was through Jesus Christ, you know, and King David and all. She wouldn't have received the blessings and the favor that she received, just the connection she made with Boaz. So we have to allow God's grace and love to lead us to the people that he has already. You know, we can't have a closed mind. You know, sometimes we are content with the people that we know and we want to just stay in that circle. But sometimes God has to pull us out of that circle in order to move us forward in the things he called us to move forward in. You know, there used to be a song they used to have was saying, no new friends, but that's not true. You want to have new friends. You want to meet new people. You want to move forward in order to prosper in the things that God has called you for it to do. You know, and that goes through divine connections, the same as Ruth and Boaz. So we have to humble ourselves. We have to be determined to walk in God's love and be faithful to what God has called us to do, and allow God to connect us with the right people at the right time, and not try to control. And because I know I've did that a lot of times, where I just gotta figure it out, and I want to be in control of everything. And God is saying, no, if you trust me, trust me. You know, if you believe what you pray, you know, that's meaning when you pray about something, you leave it in God's hand, and you trust God to work it out. Don't try to control it, or don't try to have your way in everything that you do, because sometimes we have to humble ourselves in order for God to lead us into the path he has for us and the plans and the purpose, and to meet the right people that he has for us the same way that he did with Ruth and Boaz. And I also heard that we have to let go some of the wrong relationships that we have, because sometimes the relationships that we have are not good relationships, and we're trying to figure out why we can't move forward. It's because we're holding on to things we don't need to hold on to, whether it's habits, you know, things that we can't let go, not just human, just not just people, but physical things like drugs, alcohol, you know, wanting to party all the time, you know, doing the same things over and over, and you're noticing you're not getting nowhere in life. It's because God is trying to get you to let go of the things that's not helping you move forward in him. So we have to let go of old things in order to move forward in the things that God has called us to move forward for. God has made grace for us. He has given us unmerited favor to move forward in him. So we have to allow him to open up those doors through his grace and his mercy. You know, the word says that his mercy is renewed every morning. So that means when you wake up in the morning, everything that happened prior to that, God has forgiven, and it is gone. It's forgotten. It's a new day. You should rejoice in that new day and move forward in God's grace and the love that he has given and blessed us with. So I'm going to be closing with this, and I just want to bless everyone, and that everyone may lean to God and trust in God and his grace and his love and his favor, because he's already made provision for us. And I love everyone, and God bless.
Amen. Well, you know, God has been good to all of us, and the thing that we thank God for is the ability to have a lot of teaching on the Word tonight. And so one thing I will say, the more we come into the Word of God, the more we understand it. And the Word of God became flesh, and the flesh was Jesus Christ. So the more we teach about Jesus Christ in the latter days, the more we can understand and see what he's doing for us. And so if no one has a question or statement or somebody has have something to say, and one thing I will say, that the God I love, I know you love him, the God we love, he's a gracious God. We got to pray for the president. We got to pray for the governor. We got to pray for both houses, both Republican and Democrat. We got to pray for the upcoming mayor. We got to pray for those who are visible, that we might work to do the work as God has called us to do. So tonight's the night again, I say, if you don't have a statement or anything, I want to say in my closing remarks, tonight's the night, Father, that we just thank you for the ability to come together, to get on the radio station worldwide, to go around the world. Tonight we visit New Jersey, we visit Georgia, we visit South Carolina. Thank you for allowing us to do that, Father. It's because you are the awesome God. And every teacher that was on there, it was you in us moving forward. And for this, we want to say thank you. For this, we say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And remember my word, I love you, I love you, I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. So until the next time, God bless you.